Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is January 5th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I am, I'm living the dream. I'm doing what, you dream of when you get in the golf industry. I'm, it's the first week of January. I am in, my Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in, beautiful Mount Pleasant, Michigan.
Where's Mount Pleasant?
It's right in the middle of the state. You know, okay. Most people probably don't know.
Is it Pleasant?
Mount Pleasant. It's quite, you know, I wasn't sure if it was Pleasant. I got off the highway and I about crashed the car.
What?
Because I saw a billboard for a course that I've wanted to see more so than almost any other course in America. The Polecat, which is Dan Pole.
You love talking about the Polecat.
Great 80s golfer. Dan Pole.
You love talking about Dan Pole.
Former standout high school, you know, like just like great at everything. I think he was like all state in three sports, PGA Tour player.
He hit it like 300 yards back when that was not a common thing. Yeah.
Almost won the Masters that Stadler won and has a golf course, the Polecat. P-O-H-L. C-A-T. I see a billboard right when I get off the highway. I just like, I'm so mad there's snow. I can't go out and check it out. Like, I guess I could go out. I didn't bring my boots. And, you know, it's a bummer. I don't know when I'm going to be back.
You've talked about the Polecat so much. I feel like you've heard you mention this. But you search your Twitter feed, there are so many mentions, I bet, of Dan Pole over the years or the Polecat. How many courses have, like, the namesake in them like that? But aren't just like, you know, Jack Nicklaus golf course, or
a lot of Jack Nicklaus courses have some sort of bear
reference
rendition.
Yeah. But the guy's last name is Pole and he made it the Polecat. He didn't. It's not like Pole Meadows, Pole Green. It's a fantastic creative name.
Yeah. So congrats
on being there in Mount Pleasant, Michigan here on January 4th or 5th, whatever it is when you're listening to this. All right, we're off and running. We have just 1 week. How are you doing?
I didn't ask you.
I'm fine. We have snow days, Monday, Tuesday. We're snow days for school.
Why?
2 week break. Just keeps going.
How much snow
Never
was,
ending.
How much
Christmas
snow
break.
Is there?
Like 3 inches. Not a lot.
That's not unbelievable.
Not enough to call off the second day. The second day is what kills you. I mean, I understand, you know, you wake up Monday morning and you got snow and they just call it off. But having
Why,
the second
though?
Day
what,
called...
What is 3 inches of snow? Like, what are you...
I mean, it's
Didn't we talk
where
about
I am.
This before? I think we've what? Talked about how preposterous snow days are now.
What do you mean?
There's just anything. You get a snow day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's
a dusting.
Softer generation. Yeah, I know. We would drive in blizzards. I crashed my car once. You know what I did? I got back on the road and drove my crashed car into school. They didn't call it a snow day. I mean, that's just, yeah, it's a softer generation. I went uphill both ways in my day.
Barefoot.
Anyways.
Hey, can I talk real quick about something?
Sure. It's our podcast. You can do whatever you want. Straight
I think
out of the
it's...
gate.
Completely wacky here in Michigan. You know, you're on the very western part of the eastern time zone.
Yeah,
and it doesn't get light till like 8:30 in the fucking morning.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's bad here in Maryland. It's a little, you know, but I can only imagine out there on the edge of the eastern time zone. So what I mean, the coffee shop's not open. It's not the sun's not up, and you've been up for hours. Yeah, interesting. All right. Well, have fun at Soaring Eagle or whatever it is. Are you there all week? Are you there all month? Or you got to get back to Chicago?
I got it. I'm just here for a little bit more time. Then all I right. gotta, then I'm driving up north for a short stop. Get a batch of pods done, and then then back right. home. Lots of road warrior this week.
I can only imagine what's up north. All right, here we go. There's one event this week. That's it. It's rare that you only have one OWGR event. No women's, no seniors. They're getting prepped at Hualalai, I know, for the seniors. You got LPGA coming in 2-3 weeks. But nothing. No OWGR event anywhere except for Kapalua. The Century Tournament of Champions usually gets something in the far-flung tour, but that's it. So that's our schedule for the week as we start in 2022.
I clicked on something on your website that you work at, Golf Digest.
Yeah?
I was disappointed. It was a post about a podcast, and it was structured like an article. It was Pat Perez was on that Be Right podcast.
Yeah.
And he said something about the PIP, and they teased it like I was going to be actually able to read something. Like, if you're going to write an article about your podcast, like, at least put the shit in there. He had some spicy takes about the PIP. Like, the point of the article is to have the thing in there. I don't have the time to
find the
listen to the 40-minute episode to extract a little bit of information. If I read the quotes, I might have listened to the podcast.
That's what I put. Oh, that's true. That's what the podcast description's for. You tease the topics that you cover.
Yeah, right? But if you're going to do an article,
It's a separate.
You got to have some substance to it. It can't be just, you know.
Yep. Yeah, we got podcast takes, we got Polecat, we got the time zone, darkness.
It's not a podcast take.
Whatever it is, it's
an
article.
Yes. Like, you wasted my... The whole reason I started the Fried Egg was I got tired of wasting my time clicking on things. And this was, you know, the first time in a while I felt like my time was wasted again, clicking on something. Scrolled to the bottom, I didn't know if I was at the bottom, so I went back up to the top, and then I went back down to the bottom, and I'm like, wait, there's nothing else?
You know, I edited that.
I'm sure you did.
No, I'm just kidding.
I just want to know what Pat Perez had
I haven't read it myself. I haven't listened myself, but I'll take it up with the management.
Slack channel.
I'll drop that in. Thank you. All right. So there's one event, the 2022 Century Tournament of Champions. It is January, whatever, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th. Is that right? Does that sound right? We are moving to ESPN Plus and Golf Channel. It starts Thursday at 3:15 p.m. to 10 p.m. on ESPN Plus, 6 to 10 on Golf Channel, all 4 days, 3 days. Oh, you get a little NBC mixed in on Sunday, 4 to 6. So, do you have ESPN Plus? I need listener input on this. I already have Disney Plus. Where do I go? What's the best subscription to buy? Do I bundle them with Hulu? I don't have a Hulu. Somebody could let me
know.
Does
Disney own Hulu?
I think there's a bundle with Hulu, Disney Plus, and
ESPN
Plus.
What's on Hulu, though? Like, I know my wife, I think, watched Handmaid's Tale, but then, you know, I have Hulu for months on end, charging me $15 a month, and then I cancel it. By the time I cancel it, like, 1 month later, that show starts back up, and I'm paying $15 a month again. I just don't think there's much stuff on Hulu.
I've got way too many. That's why I'm asking for input. I want best practices and hacks for ESPN Plus before I dive in here for Thursday. I think I'm jazzed about that, right? I mean, it seems like more hours that, you know, the PGA Tour Live cameras never went to Hawaii. They never made it over. They got caught in a shipping container.
I've got big hopes
for
ESPN Plus, the worldwide leader. Like, I just kind of like hope that they, because of their enormous size, that they just are a little bit less succumbing to the thumb on the scale.
Yeah, that, you know, every 3 minutes we got to have a FedEx Cup ad or sort of a fluffy something just chat on. But the problem is, I think it's still all being produced. I think it's the same old deal, still being produced out of, you know, PGA Tour HQ or Northeast Florida. I think it's the same folks, but don't quote me on that. Maybe ESPN Plus can push back against some of the production elements you find so distasteful. All right, so we have ESPN Plus. Someone tell me when and how I should buy that. We have a strong field. We have Kapalua.
The benefit of ESPN Plus is then you get ESPN Insider, and you can read those articles about, you know, what the Browns need to do this offseason.
Is Insider still a thing?
Yeah.
God, I had that my first job out of college because I had to read Bruce Feldman. I loved reading Bruce Feldman.
He's a baseball writer, right?
No, college football. You couldn't be farther off.
I feel like I'm confusing Feldman with somebody.
He had a blog. I just had to get through my desk job, and I had it. You get like free ESPN the magazines. I didn't know that was still around. All right, so we're supporting, you know, small business ESPN Plus purchase. There we go. We're fired up about that. All right, great field. Rory McIlroy is the only one who declined his invitation to the Tournament of Champions. We have Phil back after a 21-year layoff.
You know,
Bryson, who's barely played, who did not play, actually, didn't play all the fall series. A bunch of guys who barely played the fall series. Rahm, Morikawa, DJ, no DJ, he didn't win, but Spieth. It'll be a really strong week.
I think Rory should have to apologize to Cameron Champ.
Why? Because Cameron Champ's a solo?
Yeah.
Going off solo?
Having to go play solo by himself.
Does he then have to apologize to every guy thereafter for every day when there's a solo? Because it's no cut.
Yeah. I think that's only fair.
That's ridiculous. Cameron Champ is off first at 9:35 a.m. local, which is 2:35. 2:35 Eastern. So that's our start. I think you get coverage. I see these two little camera icons next to Victor Hovland and Brooks Koepka. So they may be our guinea pigs, our first off in ESPN Plus featured groups. I don't see it next to anyone else. So that may be your first featured group. What else is happening? I was told there's more channels, right? There's more channels, more coverage, things like that. So I'm excited.
Hey, I got a question about the field that I've been thinking about.
Yeah.
I think that we should make this an annual tradition. We can check back on years past.
Yeah.
Best career of players in this field, and also who will be the worst, who will have the worst career
when we look back. It feels like Colin Morikawa is a pretty strong bet, or Rahm.
I mean, Phil's in it.
Yeah, that's true. Phil's the top.
Phil is the heavyweight. He's the 1,000-pound gorilla in the room.
It's already been established. I guess that's the safest
pick,
right?
But it's the safest.
Sure.
But it also is if one of the younger guys gets past seven majors, I think you'd have to pick him.
I was going to say Lucas Glover, but the guy won a freaking U.S. Open. People forget that, right?
Oh, kind Lucas, of amazing. You can't put Lucas.
I don't. No, I'm not.
What?
I'm not.
Seamus Power's in the field, and you're thinking
scrolling.
About picking,
I haven't even gotten to him
Lucas
yet. I'm
Glover.
Scrolling.
Lucas,
the first.
That's blasphemy. That's
I'm
just
scrolling. I didn't get there yet.
I don't think I'll ever get over that.
2009, the U.S. Open champ.
I mean, Lucas
right?
Glover can't be the worst career in any field.
Probably Matt Jones.
Matt Jones?
Who?
You think Matt Jones? God, Mr. Jones.
I mean, I don't know. So here, this is a fun game. So I was looking up. This is the first time Phil has played this in 21 years. He last time played.
He needs to get his pip money.
2001. Yeah, he's, I mean, it's like held hostage by the pip money. Like he shows up to Hawaii. So you played the Mercedes in 2001. Like guys in that. This is like similar to what we're doing now. I follow golf pretty. M. Clark the second. Do you know who that might be?
No.
Played in that one. There's a Scherer with a lot of R's in there. T. Scherer. Duffy Waldorf. I mean, the most of them are known guys that you would have heard of, but Nota Begay was in there. Somebody named Jay Carter. I don't know. Joe Carter. I have no idea who that is, but 20 years ago, who's going to be that guy for you in this field?
That's what I'm saying.
Do you have one? Or are you just popping me for as I scroll pulling Lucas Glover up?
I think Seamus Power is got to be the leader in the clubhouse.
He's got a lot of years in front of him, though. I mean, plus he's got a real distinguished name.
He does, but he's just... I just don't think he's got... I mean, he almost lost his card. Like, he's never going to get to, like...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's...
He goes to KFT finals, I feel like, every
Husky,
2 years.
Husky Boy is, like... I mean, I don't think Husky Boy... I think Husky Boy's world's ahead of him, though.
Yeah, but Husky Boy, like... I was looking at him the
Husky
other day.
Husky Boy's cage leaf, for anybody that doesn't know.
Well, you shouldn't be listening to this podcast. I mean, Husky Boy, I had to write a little capsule for him for the top 100 players for Golf Digest.
Oh, you contributed to that? I almost clicked on that.
They gave me... whoever was assigning him must be a listener to this podcast because they gave me Husky Boy, Tommy Tables. I was like, why am I getting all... How did they end up with these people? I don't know who was assigning him, but it was all these inside jokes. But I was looking at Husky Boy's... Like, he's had a pretty long career and he hasn't... like done much. I know he's played well in the last year
plus.
Here's
the thing,
but
Husky Boy could be a breakout candidate because he was in the thick of things a lot last year.
That's true. He had a great year.
In the thick of things. No pun intended, but
well, now he's off this. He wants to be, you know, fit as a fiddle. He's gonna have.
He'll always be the Husky Boy.
Yeah, of course. Wanted once and forever.
I mean,
okay.
Jolie D, could you put Jolie D? Like, is that the other guy? Like, I like Jolie D, and, you know, I think he's wonderful, but, like, that's, to me, it's Seamus Power, and there's not really a close second.
Matt Jones? Matt How Jones is the most creative Matt player Jones, guy. Matt I know Jones he's won Houston, Honda.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is not Michael Kim or Martin Trainer territory.
Yeah, you're right. No, he's the Aussies are going to get at me because he's done some real work down in Australia. I understand. I'm just saying, you know, his name is just could be anybody. Matt Jones.
I might clip out a subset of what you said and find all the replies to your swimming coach. Just start replying to the angry Aussies. He's at it again.
I love Australia. God. Yeah, that's a Seamus Power, I suppose, is up there. I'll stick with Matt Jones. That's a good game. That's a good guess. There's like this every year. Every
that's
year there's
what,
one.
There's always some terrible. Not terrible.
It's usually opposite field winner, a John Deere winner, and that's kind of where.
Pepe Peter.
Oh, God. What do you project for Erik van Rooyen?
The analytics boys are hot on him.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Data boys are...
Let me tell you what else is hot on him.
Not the data boys, the analytics boys.
I'll say this. I don't know if this will be a regular segment or you'll never hear about this again. My catnip call of the week, Erik van Rooyen's mustache. It's going to be content about Erik van Rooyen's mustache. He's got a very robust mustache. I saw it. And I'm just telling you, there's going to be tweets and content on of mustache content of things of that nature. You're going to see it. You're going to hear about it. I'm just telling you right now as we record this Tuesday. Maybe it's already out there, but that's the catnip call of the week. There'll be mustache content.
Can
Go
we
ahead.
Bring back the thirst bucket of the week this year?
Sure. I mean, it's Phil. It's Phil. I mean, we are 4 days into this year. It's Phil for... tweeting about vaccines and tweeting. I think he deleted one tweet about how should unvaccinated people be admitted to the hospital. Yeah. He's just trying to stir the pot, rile people up. I think it's a regrettable kind of thirst. I mean, so, I don't know. It's a harmful thirst.
Xander's in the field for winning the Olympics.
I have that. I've got these questions. I think it's time we talk about Xander. We had a friend of the program text us this week.
Oh, come on.
Saying it's almost 3 years since Xander's won on the PGA Tour. I mean, that's an issue. Is it not?
He won
Do you think
the
he shouldn't
Olympics.
Have gotten in for the Olympics?
He won the freaking Olympics. He's a gold medalist. Just because you and Spartan
a
were
fansless
on the record,
Olympics with 60
were on the
guys.
Record for calling him overrated when he was, you know, when he was just kind of a hipster guy, a hipster pick. You know, he wasn't in the mainstream.
He hasn't won in 3 years. I mean, Sabatini and the bronze medalist.
He won the
shadow
leaderboard a couple years ago. That's a win.
It is.
Look at you. You're walking contradiction.
I mean, it's 3 years since he won an official PGA Tour event. I think we should start talking about Xander.
No, he won the Tour Championship.
He just...
He won the Tour Championship 2 years ago.
I don't think you can say when you look up on the leaderboard...
He's in the Olympics. How do you not win a PGA Tour event if he's in the Tournament of Champions? If he's in the PGA Tour's Tournament of Champions, how did he not win a Tour event for the last 3 years? How is that possible?
The thing with Xander... is he tends to, you know, he loves to be the bridesmaid. We've seen it at every major. But when it comes down to actually walking down the aisle himself, he kind of clams up and dives into the pew. And I just, look, when you're putting to win the shadow leaderboard, I don't think that's what you're thinking about. There's a little less stress when you look up and you see you're two shots behind on the actual leaderboard. I don't think you're playing the same way. You're not doing the shadow leaderboard calculations. So I don't know that you can say that's a clear-cut win. It is
Xander's
on the...
going to win this week. He's going to stick it to you. There's my one and done.
I think winning the Olympics?
Here's my counter to you. You know, winning isn't everything. In sports... everybody strives to be more consistent, and that's no different than golf. All right? I was listening to Jeff Van Gundy on The Low Post, and he was talking about this, consistency. And Xander is one of the most consistent players on the PGA Tour. So, like, yeah, he's got this problem that he's always in contention at majors. If he just, like, popped a T2 in and then finished 35th, 42nd, and 50th, you wouldn't be bringing up his, you know, always being in the mix at majors but never winning.
I mean, what do you think of Tony Finau's issue?
I think Finau's super consistent. He's super good at everything. He just doesn't putt well enough to win a lot. Like, that's like the reality of really good ball strikers and pitchers. Like, look at, like, Sergio Garcia. Unbelievable off the tee. Unbelievable approach player, unbelievable around the greens, like longevity, unbelievable. But he won he wins less than once a year in his like incredible career. But does that diminish? Like he's one of the all time greats.
Okay, I don't need to start the year off popping Xander. I just he's an excellent top 10 player in the world type. So
one other thing,
I was shocked when someone texted us. It was like throwing me red meat that he hasn't won in 3 years.
He's throwing you red meat because both of you had bad takes. You
know, I thought we were supposed to
got
overrated, anonymous friend
overrated,
of the program.
Underrated, right, got you right, a couple years right. ago. I remember right. it so vividly. I believe it was the U.S. Open preview show. I was sitting in a wonderful little, you know, Hamptons motel. Right on the beach, recording, and I just couldn't believe that both of you went overrated. That was when overrated, underrated existed.
It's time for him to win again. Although, you know, with the 30, 40-man field, I wouldn't be surprised if he gives it
He's
gives
in
it
the PGA Tour's Tournament of Champions. You
well,
can't,
so is Harris
You England. Can't then turn around and say that he didn't win on the PGA Tour. That's the prerequisite for
How
being
many FedEx
in the
Cup
tournament.
Points did he get for winning? Last year.
So then that brings up a question, like, why didn't he get any?
So you if think he's there in should the be field? Some for the Olympics?
Why not?
Sure. Why are we having Olympics talk? All
hey,
right.
Can I bring up one other thing about the Van Gundy pod that I remember that got brought up?
Sure.
I find this incredible, and I tried it today for like 30 minutes and I couldn't do it any longer. But I remember him saying this, and they brought it back up. He drove from, I think he lives in Houston, to the bubble last year and back. It's like 17 hours each way.
Yeah.
Without anything on in his car the entire way.
Oh, God.
And he...
Alone with his thoughts?
Alone was like, what, you're going crazy. He goes, listen, I was solving all the world's problems with my thoughts. So I tried it. Right, it was right at the end of the episode. Yeah. Turned it off, and I tried it. You know what my head immediately went to?
What? The polecat?
No. The PGA Tour and how fucked up the system is.
What, FedEx Cup?
Just like the entire... Well, yeah. The FedEx ruins the whole tour. This whole preposterous FedEx Cup ruins the whole tour. It's why we can't have like different formats, because they like feel this inequity. Like, think about all like the hoopla that goes into like the FedEx Cup points for the team event.
Right.
Like, this is all like the doing of this stupid contrived sponsored content bullshit. And like, okay, the tour needs to be 40 guys exempt. Like, maybe 40, maybe 30.
I thought you were at like 70 20, last year.
20. Like, I've fully come in on this, like, that, like, there needs to be so few guys exempt, and it needs to just, you know, like, the exemptions need to just go. They have
well,
to
then
go.
Don't you,
and I it mean, needs to be just, we're at a time where it doesn't matter. It should be just based off of a ranking that, like, determines who gets into the field. Like, if you're playing really gangbusters somewhere else, you should just be able to get into the field.
Yeah, but then you run into all these. Fine. Take the FedEx Cup away. But then you
the
start
FedEx
getting
Cup
into
is the
OWGR issues, though, because they don't award points for
well,
some of
that's
these.
Like where
the,
you just
the
have
Belgian
to come
knockout
up.
Event and all these other things.
You
the
have to
Zurich.
Come up with a smart ranking system. It would solve all of the PGA Tour's ills. And the ranking system is not the FedEx Cup, and it's not the OWGR. They're both extraordinarily flawed. So
you redo the whole thing.
Yeah, well, this system. Is where I landed is the FedEx Cup. This whole contrived sponsorship
playoffs
has ruined the entire PGA Tour, and it's unfixable without abolishing the whole FedEx
Cup. Tearing it down to the studs.
Yeah.
Rebuilding. Okay.
This is what my 30 minutes of silence yielded.
Silence in the car. Huh. It was all golf.
It
bouncing
like,
around
it literally
there.
Went to this.
Interesting.
That's the condensed like 4 minutes or whatever of the 30 minutes.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. Should we do a quick read?
Ad read.
It's not really an ad read. It's actually
push.
We're seeding. Yeah. Yeah.
Right? This is the hottest time for merchandise. This is the hottest time for consumer products. It's the first week of January when everybody's trying to spend less money, you know, get things back in order, get fit. You know, this is the time to buy clothes.
I think January is the worst month to do like the dry thing and try to get fit. Why would this be it, right? You're just hibernating. It's cold. It's depressing. Like, you need comfort food and alcohol to keep you better. I was thinking about that today. Like, January is of all the months to try to get right in that way. It seems among the worst. Anyways.
I don't know. I just think it's a good time to reset. Maybe we should change the start of the year.
Change what?
This is start of the year.
Oh, okay.
So like what if June was the start of the year and then everybody was, you know, days are long, everybody's getting fit.
That what if it was the end of the FedEx Cup? We also started ruining the Gregorian calendar. The start of the year is when the wraparound season starts.
See,
that kind of thing.
Here's a question. Would you rather live in the Northern Hemisphere or the Southern Hemisphere? And like Southern Hemisphere, your start of the year.
I like my hemisphere. I think
you like
been,
it?
I'm just used to it.
I'm just pointing out if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, New Year's is like a long day. It's warm.
No, I don't want a warm Christmas. I hate that we don't get snow in Maryland for Christmas. We get it at the end of our 2 week Christmas break. Anyways,
I wish
if you're
there was somewhere in America that I could move that was in the Southern Hemisphere, just to try it out.
Well, you should talk to Joe Biden about that. See if we can annex something for you and you alone. Get something going down there. All right. So I don't know how we got on this, but yeah, if you want to buy some merchandise during these cold times, we have new-ish, they've been up for a few weeks, Be Dratty long sleeve polos with the Shotgun Start logo. Let me tell you, this is no bullshit. These are incredibly comfortable, versatile. I wore this Saturday with jeans to a, like, I don't know, New Year's Day get together. It was a little monochromatic. My wife was popping me. But anyways, you can wear them. I would have picked out a lighter shade of jean if I were you. But they go well with casual stuff like jeans, khakis, I don't know, you could throw a coat, blazer over them. They're just a very versatile garment. I remember Billy Drady himself saying, like, this is basically all he wears from September through April. They're incredibly comfortable. They make me feel better when, you know, just more peaceful when I have it on. The long sleeves are money. I think you can wear them all sorts of different ways. So those are new.
Winter hats for anybody that lives in a place of real winter, which is, you know, kind of descended down on the north. On the northern part of the northern hemisphere.
Yeah, new winter hats at the Shotgun Start merchandise, whatever it is, store, apparatus. Thank you to Will Knights for setting those up. I would encourage you to get the long sleeves. I love those things. All right, continuing on with Kapalua, Blueberry Boy. Do you have any other field thoughts? I got some questions.
What's there to talk about with Xander, the field?
I have questions about Xander.
I'm saying the field you win, you're
it's
in.
Sweet.
This is a great, this kicks off maybe. I think you can make an argument that this is the best portion of the PGA Tour schedule.
We've talked about this. Yeah, good here through.
To the Masters.
I would say, yeah, you could even go all that way. You want to throw the gold standard in there, fine.
Well, you could go to the Riv and just stop it there.
I would even include like a Bay Hill. Or something like that.
You're just such a Bay Hill apologist because they gave you those. They gave you those shoes and let you play with Grayson.
So full of shit. I just think we end up with fun Sundays there, Rory. I just had some good moments in the last five.
Always riding for Bay Hill.
That's not true at all. I love the hedges. Hitting over the hedges.
Because they put your initials.
Don't say that. Don't say that. All right, so yeah, Riviera, you can cut it off there. Anyways, you got Spieth. I have questions about Spieth. He finished the year shitty. He was not good. I don't know. Is the duct tape back on? Where are we in the Spieth, you know, scale right now? Because he was horrible at Hero. Not that that matters, but then like his actual four or five events towards the end of the year, he wasn't great after the Open Championship.
What if he becomes the rich man's Roberto Castro, where he doesn't like bounce back
on.
And forth?
Incredibly rich man,
like
come on.
Like the wealthiest Roberto Castro, but instead he just yo-yos between being like a top 10 player and like the 200th best player
can't
in the world.
Play. Yeah. So I'm just curious to see Spieth play. We've barely seen him. I'm curious about Phil. Like, I just don't even know what he is anymore. I'm sure that there'll be a lot of catnip and fascination with him, wider fascination with him. But I just, like, that PGA was such a fleeting thing, you know? It was like the 50 holes that he played great for one weekend, 4 days. And I just... It'll be fascinating to see him play on 60-yard wide fairways. Who knows if he cares? And then Matthew
Bryson.
Wolf.
What about Bryson?
What about him?
60-yard wide fairways, big elevation drops, trade winds potentially at his back. I mean, here's another catnip prediction of the week. You won't believe how far Bryson DeChambeau hit this drive. That's coming.
Is he going for five? Is he going to get to 500 down the hill?
Is there a net to cut down? What's the range look like at Kapalua?
It's an odd looking range. I've only seen, you know, from the side angle.
You hit it into like the jungle or something.
Yeah, there's a bunch of trees. It looks small. Looks downhill. Looks
Maybe
like you're hitting downhill.
Maybe we should
downhill.
Get the environmental agencies, alert them that Bryson could be sending
polluting.
Some polyurethane
into the woodlands.
Into the jungle.
And Matthew Wolf, I have questions about him. I want to know what he's all... He had a great
Saudi
fall.
Saudi boy.
Had a great fall. Yeah, I have that Saudi boy. I'm sure he loves that moniker. But yeah, he did commit, didn't he? He threw his hat in the rain. Anything else? First timers? Cameron Davis. Jolie D. Taylor Gooch. Lucas Hebert. Garrick Higo. Husky Boy.
Wait,
Seamus
is it Herbert
Power.
Or Hebert?
It's Herbert, I think. The Aussies get mad at me when I call him Hebert. That's the other guy that got mad at me because I didn't pronounce his name right. Those are your first timers. That covers your
field. I got a couple
day.
Questions about pairings.
Okay.
All right. Let's start with the 10-40 pairing. We saw breakout years from these two guys, Jason Kokrak and Max Homa. You know, okay. Calendar years, Homa wins twice. Kokrak won three times in the calendar.
Are you counting the QBE?
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
All right.
Give him that win. It's the last time probably being a happen, you know. But
I'm taking him as my one and done, by the way. Jake, Big J, the real Big J. Not the fake. He's actual big, and his name's Jay. He's the real Big J. The other ones are fake. Monahan, the Chase commercial, Justin Thomas. Jason Kokrak's my
one
and done pick.
Why does this one and done league start this week? This always
screws me up. I don't think it does.
I
don't think it does. I think it starts next week. But okay. We're all making my picks. Go ahead.
But so who ends Kokrak up the year ranked higher? I like Max. I don't like Kokrak that much. I don't know. I've never met him, but yeah, he's an example setter, you know, for things.
It feels like Kokrak, like the modern PGA Tour, not to say Homa is deficient in any way, but is like really playing into Kokrak's hands, right?
That's what I think, too.
So I think it probably works out better for him.
Kokrak be on the President's Cup team?
Oh, my God. He feels like a real President's Cup type.
Like
player.
One team plays the President's Cup. Yeah. So it just always has that one year on the President's Cup.
Yeah. We should do that. Look back at all the most obscure President's Cup one-timers. But yeah, that's a good call. Any others? Any other tee times that jump off the page to you?
11-10. Teammates turn foes. You got the dynamic Zurich pairing. Outcast.
And
you know,
QBE
Outcast,
shootout pairing.
Outcast lookalikes. Sam Burns and Billy Ho.
Tom Cryer.
We can call
Tom
him
Cryer
Big Boy.
Is all...
Who's Big Boy and who's Andre 3000 between the two of them?
I think Billy Ho was Big Boy.
Has to be.
Yeah, I think he was. Yeah.
He has. Well, no, just in general. He has to be.
Oh, in general.
Because Big Boy's trying to still get every dollar out of the Outcast while Andre 3000's gone into hiding and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to evade Billy Ho, and I just can't. He was the first interview I saw. I turned on Golf Channel. I probably hadn't turned it on in a month. I turned it on, and there he is. He's getting interviewed about course conditions and starting the new year right. I go to Getty to look up photos for the first time this year. He's the first photo. I type in Kapalua. First picture is Billy, just in a crouch, laughing like a complete maniac. He's just everywhere already, all over my life. So that's a good one. Billy Ho and Sam Burns, comfortable pairing. QBE
Maybe
shootout.
Something could happen out there.
No, come on. It's comfortable pairing.
What if, here's the thing, if they aren't paired together for the Zurich, you know,
that's good, buddy. Hey, buddy.
Can we infer that something happened here this week?
You could. Yeah, you can absolutely infer. There was an issue. Surfing, spear fishing, zip lining, something they didn't get along. Something happened this week.
Other thing, do you think that the tour fears use golf facts and thus paired him with Colin Morikawa to show that hey, you know, this is one of the golden boys and you got the same pairing as him?
No. God, that sucks for Colin Morikawa, doesn't it? Right?
He's got to pay attention to more than his own game this week.
Oh, they put Spieth and JT. God, they're really just easing these guys into the year. Spieth and JT together?
I bet they...
Burns and Horschel?
I wonder if Spieth and JT told them that they'd play this event. They'd both play this event if they could get paired together.
Man, it's a great field. Finau and Bryson, thick boy. I mean, Finau's probably one of the nicer guys on tour that indulges. You know, thick boy's antics. We haven't seen thick boy in a while. This will be interesting. Like you said, be interesting. He's probably got his TikTokers there. He might be there just to try and hit a 500 yard.
I mean, he's been training.
He doesn't care. That's all he's been doing.
This is a place where you could just absolutely unleash at all times.
Yep.
It's exciting.
All right. Anything else on Kapalua you want to talk about? I mean,
all right. One last thing.
Go ahead.
Let's do a little low old guy. Stu Sink.
What's old? Phil.
Phil. Glover.
Glover. Glover, I think.
Do you think is Reagan on the bag still? He said he was going to like only doing PNC. It for a year. There's no way he's not, right?
I thought he was going to grad school or working or doing something.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I bet he's still on the bag.
I always come back.
I mean, it's
why wouldn't you?
He probably made like
I wouldn't go
300,000 last
grad
year.
Grad school is such a con. Such a con in general.
To talk about the college education system as a con?
Yeah, the whole deal.
The whole thing.
The whole thing's a, yeah. At least you went to a state school. God, saved a little bit of money that way. Anyways, all right. Anything else on Kapalua? Do you want to talk about the course at all? We talk about it every year at the start of the year. I saw it described, I can't remember, on TV or in Rite Aid somewhere as like this is classic resort golf. And I don't. What does resort golf even mean? I'm trying to think what that connotes to me.
The laziest like it connotes, description like, of Kapalua.
I would say it really doesn't. Well, what does even that mean? What does that connote?
When I think resort golf, I think like Orlando golf courses.
I think of like Kiowa just kicking my ass with OB stakes and water on both
Turtle
sides.
Point, you're thinking?
Yeah,
about
that's
point.
What I think about. It connotes like bat, like getting punched in the mouth.
This was like a transformational revolution. I don't know exactly what the right descriptor is. Resort golf course.
Is it? I guess Kapalua.
This
is
actually probably
resort,
like the the resort course I most want to play that I haven't played.
Sure.
Outside of Fairmont St. Andrews, the home of golf.
The home of golf.
Now I'm going to make a bunch of caveats.
Enemies?
Outside of like Cape Kidnappers and Barbogle.
Well, I don't even know what resort. I mean, this could be a big bucket or it could not be. I don't know what's technically a resort.
Course kind of like laid the groundwork for Bill Corr and Ben Crenshaw, Tom Doak kind of started a wave. This golf course was one of their first, you know, and this
92.
This kind of paved the way for resort golf starting to look like, you know, abandoned dunes. It's not walkable. Obviously, it's on a freaking mountain. But, you know, idea of like playable and fun for all, but on like a really dramatic site, you know? Yeah.
And then the other thing with the course I wanted to bring up to you, like the big greens. So whatever, they're like 9,000 square feet average or something. Like, do you think, have we talked about this? Is there data on this? Like, does that bring a worse putter in it to it? Does it eliminate does it widen the bucket for making it, I don't know, less of an advantage to be a good putter? Does it not matter at all? Like, you're probably going to be hitting some more longer lag putts than you're used to, maybe. I don't know, though. So I just wonder if that has any impact at all, the big greens, if it equalizes anything or actually accentuates the better putter.
Well, I think it's always a course that, like, is heavy approach.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of correlation with Augusta because of how severe the lies are slopes, you get here.
Yeah.
So if it emphasizes approach, you know, I would think one of the things that a big green would do would de-emphasize maybe chipping a little.
Yeah.
But like if you're a good putter, one of the things like that always is like super underrated about certain guys, like, you know, Adam Scott's not like a great short putter.
Yeah.
But like, God, that guy can lag putt. Like, if you ever watch him putt, like lag putt, it's just like he leaves everything dead, you know?
Yeah.
That's one of the things you can appreciate this week is how freaking good these guys are at putting when they have these long putts and like how many they just leave to like kick ins. It's just, it's wild.
One of my favorite like professional memories was watching Phil lag putt at Oakmont before, like, honestly, I had shit to do. I had to get in, and he like lag putted on, I want to say like 15 or 16, one of those back in that corner for like an hour and a half. He just wouldn't leave the green. He was just lag putting. You know, he'd throw the coaster down. He lag putted for like 90 minutes. I couldn't leave. I was just mesmerized watching it.
But it's kind of like the shame of golf that we never see like skills competitions or anything like the NBA has it, like the All-Star game. And maybe this is like the place to have it, is like tournament champions. You do something like Wednesday night, prime time. It would be really cool. But one of the things that would be super fun to do is see like a lag putting challenge on a green where you just put like a little like, you know, kind of like square of tees, you know, that's 2x2, and have people putt from like 6 different places around the green from 50 plus feet and see how many that they get in there. You know, that would be an amazing thing to watch.
Yep. All right.
Free content ideas
for our Kapalua. I think you have nothing else on Kapalua.
Can you find one thing? Can you find the drone video from last year? You're good at finding stuff on Twitter.
Oh yeah, I'll find
it. Can you reheat it this week?
Yeah, I'll get it. It wasn't deleted when I was doing my year in review research. I'll get it to you.
Woo!
You want a little get a little queasy? We'll do that. All right, news. I mean, honestly, like real quick, Capper, like this is going to be awesome. We'll talk more about it Friday. One of the things we love about this event is you see all these newfangled like marketing slogans, season of championships, the preposterous FedEx Cup. Yeah, so like we'll have some meat to chew on for Friday. This is great. I mean, so many good players. So such a good tradition we've kind of settled
into. It always delivers. Like I'll never forget a couple years ago, right after the rules change of like with the putting with the pin in, like the first thing that they come on air with is Miss Bryson. Like putting the pin back in and putting with it. It just
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be good to get some golf going again. News. Saudi additions. You mentioned Matthew Wolf earlier. They also added Tony Finau, Patrick Reed, Cameron Smith. Mark Leishman is going out to the desert to bat it around by the Red Sea. And our man, Lucas Hébert. So that's three Aussies, Smith, Leishman, and Hébert. And three Americans, and Finau, Reed, and Wolf, in addition to whatever, the 10 or 12 guys they already had in the field.
I think repulsiveness of Saudi Arabia is a little, it's more American-based than it is internationally.
Maybe.
It's more accepted, I think, because of like soccer and F1 and just the influences of those sports are really big internationally, and they have heavy influences in those sports.
Yeah, I guess I would also maybe say Americans are more shift towards the dollar quickly. I forgive that. I don't know, but anyways, like your point earlier, I think when this first came out, is like it just becomes more normalized. I think that was your point. Maybe it was somebody else's. That like, I don't know, you just keep adding names and names and names, and it just starts.
Everybody's
going to
be over there.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
This is turning into one of the best fields of the year.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, and so they've done this in what, 3-4 years now? Three years?
I think this is four. Reed's going to be handing out Team Reed gear. Free G4 product to the kids in that Saudi Arabian school. So yeah, I think it's like 3 or 4 years.
So you think about like what they've done, where they've come from, and they went from, you know, where everybody was appalled at, you know, the guys that went over the first year, and it was like quick, that was shortly after the reporter and everything happened, and you know, now like what would this field be on the PGA Tour? It's a top third event. How long until it's more than that? I mean, how long until you're looking at it and it's like, this is, you know, the best event in the beginning of the year outside of Riv. Like that's where we're heading with it.
Yeah. Well, if you're some kid, Kane Abdullah, Economic City, Patrick Reed, Geronimo, pray for birdies hat, and go walk around with the pray for birdies. It might be sacrilegious. I don't know. G4 gear. That's Patrick Reed. He's back. Other news. There's a USGA women's announcement coming on Friday. All I know is
sponsor.
There's an announcement. What?
Maybe a sponsor for the US Women's Open. Remember that was, you know, people were talking about that, how the USGA wanted to get a sponsor.
Julie Inkster and Danielle Kane are involved in it. I don't know. Friday afternoon.
Who could say? Maybe that's what it is, because they wanted to do a big purse increase, and part of that is with a sponsor. That's what I hadn't read that. I didn't hear that, and that was my immediate reaction.
Okay. And then last but not least, it's equipment season. I don't know. A lot of hoopla. Titanium is maxed out. The limits are gone. There's no more. There's nothing more to do with it. That mine is run dry, and TaylorMade has released Carbon Stealth. You were just advising me, or you know, edifying me, that Callaway is having a launch show on Golf Channel, which seems like a total, like I don't know. I just feel like they're becoming even more intertwined with the way the game is covered, processed, and promoted. But this Carbon thing, people are all fired up about. Everybody's getting
it's just this is just yards. Like the most. Inane thing.
Yes, that's what it is. It's like, bullshit. Yeah.
Well, just
I don't even read it. It's not interesting to me.
I just just think about this. Think about like any other sport. Like, would we be excited about Wilson launching a new basketball or Rawlings? Like, would it be big news at the start of a season about a new Rawlings bat or you know, glove or, you know, a new football cleat? No. You know why? Because there's actually like real regulations in sports that are preserving the sport from skill. Like, think about like swimming, the bodysuit that got banned, running, the marathon shoe, tennis slowed down the balls in the courts. Like, what are we doing where these guys can just like render these golf courses completely like without teeth? It's just crazy. You know, here, two things can be true, right? And I think like this is like the thing that where I was thinking about this too while I was in my 30 minutes of silence. That was the other thing that was running hot. Was, you know, two things can be true. Like, equipment advances can be great for the recreational game, and equipment advances can be absolutely awful for the professional game. And these advances that are like, you know, allegedly geared towards average players, which is like creating a bigger sweet spot zone, like where off center hits. Like, I know a sweet spot is a small size, but like creating a face where off center hits react to this almost the same as dead center hits. That's not a good thing for the sport of golf. Like, that is diminishing skill when you make not hitting the ball in the dead center of the club face less important. I get so frustrated that the governing body, the USGA, the RNA, the PGA Tour, has not done anything.
Not a great development. Another not great development.
Well,
but
this
I don't
is
know
the
anything
thing.
About it.
Every time you set. Be. You set a regulation. You set a limit. Once you've reached that limit, engineers are going to figure out how to make things better.
Right.
That's their literal job. They sit in a room, and when you give them constraints, is actually sometimes a benefit.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just time to reset the constraints for at least professional golf. Like,
go ahead.
It just, like, we shouldn't be hearing about a driver that is leaping ball speeds of like the best players in the world that already hit the ball too far for the stadiums that they play in.
Yeah. That my whole thing is that like people gobble this up and are the willing sort of, I mean, the products are dramatic.
Well, all the people that are gobbling it up and sharing
like, you don't
it and
hear
about
the
about,
new Rawlings bat, right? They come out with a new bat, I'm sure, every year, or a glove,
I don't know
or
if
a
Rawlings
basketball.
Makes bats, do they?
Whatever the... Yeah,
they make
we're out
gloves.
Of this. Louisville Slugger. Sure. Easton, whatever it is. But like a new bat, right? You just like, it doesn't become like 25% of the coverage you hear and see.
Well, they're
read.
All
That's
of them
why,
are
why
bought and paid. Every single one of them is bought and paid. That's why you hear about it. This is where their ad revenue comes in, because I'm not going to get into
that. Well, this is a year in review. We did last year. We had to hear about John Rahm's 59. He played at some, you know, Arizona course with his first time out with Callaway. Like, that freaking mattered. He was number one in the world with the clubs he had the year before, too. So, I don't know. All right. That's it. It's equipment season, though. We get this stuff. You have anything else you want to do on this Wednesday? You ready to get out of here?
I'm ready to get out.
All right. Everyone enjoy the first round of Kapalua. We will be back Friday. Very exciting to have golf back. But get yourself a long sleeve shirt. Wear it with jeans. Don't wear it with jeans. Whatever you want to do.
Blueberry boy it up. Send us the pictures of you being a blueberry boy.
It's a very comfortable shirt.
I have one. Right. I have one. I washed it. It's hanging. I was packing for this trip and I had finished. I'd already made my selections.
Sure.
And then I like looked and I was like, oh, I saw it as I like pulled the last thing out and I was like, well, it's too late. I can't read.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
So it's there for you, waiting when you get back from
Yeah.
Soaring Eagle or wherever you are. All right. We'll talk to you guys on Friday.